believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Chelsea, Michigan, and became an actor on both stage and film. He's recorded several songs, including two full-length albums. He and his family moved back to Chelsea, bought an old bus garage, and transformed it into the Purple Rose Theater. He's written, directed, and starred in Escanaba in the Moonlight and Super Sucker. He's a Michigan treasure and our state's spokesperson. His name, Jeff Daniels. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760, WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with a true Michigan treasure, Michigan spokesperson, Jeff Daniels. Jeff, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Well, I had great parents. I'm very fortunate. They were people that didn't quite understand what it was I was doing, but supported it wholeheartedly, which isn't always the case, as many people know. They were told by a sixth grade chorus teacher that there was something in this kid that they should pay attention to. She didn't know what it was, but just be supportive of that. And to their credit, my father owns a Chelsea Lumber Company and mom's a housewife. They were very, very encouraging every time I went out for a musical, every time I... they were always there, like many sport parents now, you know, will rehash the game. They would rehash every performance of Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof that I did, you know, and we'd sit in the kitchen and we'd talk about it. So I had great parents who were helping me chase this dream, whatever it was.
What were the biggest things they taught you, Jeff Daniels?
Nothing replaces hard work. Outwork everyone. If you're not prepared, it's because you didn't practice enough. It's you didn't apply yourself enough. And I think that's partly, it was certainly them, but it was also, I think, the Midwest. I certainly, having worked on both coasts, you don't expect things to be handed to you. And when you're from this part of the country, and they really instilled that in me. And I worked at my dad's lumber company for 4 or 5 summers and was hauling cement and stacking lumber and doing all those things that the lowest person on the totem pole did at a lumber company. And that was all part of it. And I think as I got into the acting, I never expected to be handed anything. And I think they gave me that in spades.
You wanted to become a doctor. What happened?
I did? There was never a moment in my life when I thought that medicine was my calling. It's similar to lumber. You know, even though it was a family-owned business, I've often said that wood was not in my blood. I admire the window. I don't know what kind of window it is. I don't care how it got into the wall. It's just a window. And if you're going to be in lumber, or if you're going to be in medicine and really care about the body, I just never. And I was also not good at math. Dad would put me in trigonometry and calculus and geometry, all these things that you needed for the lumber business. Forget medicine. That's a whole other, you know, 12, 15 years of schooling that was beyond me. I was just not mathematically inclined.
How did you get your first break in acting?
There were a series of breaks. I would say that the biggest leap after, you know, certainly all through high school, I was provided opportunities that could be called breaks. But to go from Michigan to New York was a huge break that didn't necessarily register in movie stardom, certainly, but it got me to New York. I was going to Central Michigan University. I was sitting in the CMU library, not studying, reading the CM Life paper, and I saw that Eastern Michigan had auditions for kids from all over the state. So I went down there to Eastern, to IPSY, to see how I do against kids from all over the state. And I got the leading role in one of four plays. It was a 16-actor ensemble. We were in all the plays. But I got the leading role in a play, Tennessee Williams' Summer of Smoke, which was directed by a guy named Marshall W. Mason, who was a New York director who had flown out to Eastern to basically pick up a check and direct some college kids. He saw me, rehearsed me, and before we opened, he said, "You should come to New York and join my theater company." That's a huge break.
1979, you go to New York, and you work at the Second Stage Theater. Talk about that.
Well, the Second Stage Theater was kind of down the road. Circle Rep was where I started and really established myself, and that was Marshall Mason's theater, as well as Lanford Wilson, who would eventually win a Pulitzer Prize, and that was really the starting point. Second Stage was a place Carol Rothman had directed, and I was the artistic director there, and she gave me I did a couple of plays with them, certainly early on in my career, and then the last play I did in New York before I moved back to Michigan was at Second Stage.
What advice would you give tonight to an aspiring actor or actress?
I would tell them that you need to get good. If you want to be a star, move to Hollywood and have a very pretty face. And, you know, that's one thing. But if you want to have a career that lasts a long time, you need to go be an actor, not a star. Stardom is something that falls out of the sky for certain people. Acting, you can be really good at for decades and decades. Stardom is something that lasts a little while. But an actor is someone that lasts decades. If you learn how to do it right, if you're going to get 2 minutes, you need to be in the right place at the right time, but then you have to deliver. And in that 2 minutes, you need to show them how good you are. It's the free throw at the end of the game. You need to hit it. If you don't, we'll get somebody else.
We're talking to Jeff Daniels. When we come back, we'll ask him what makes a great actor. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Jeff Daniels, who began his acting career in New York in 1979 and has starred in numerous New York productions, both on and off Broadway. Jeff, what makes a great actor?
The great actors to me are the people that listen. Acting is not set up that way, certainly in film. It goes all the way back to that line, "I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille." My close-up, me, acting in front of a mirror. And the best actors are the ones that react. Spencer Tracy was one of the best at this. You can see him, feel him, take in what Hepburn's saying and receive it and then send it back. It's almost like ping pong. And you have to adjust to where the line comes. And so the great actors to me are the ones that can react.
Who's the best you've ever performed with?
Well, you get into a room and there are a lot of great ones. And I've been fortunate to work with many of them. You know, certainly comedically. I mean, when you put in a room Robin Williams and Jim Carrey and Michael Richards and you know, Woody Allen writing, directing Purple Rose. Those are, everybody's great. There is no greatest there. The purest actor is probably Meryl Streep. She just wrote the book on moment-to-moment acting, which is all about reacting and listening and whatever happens between action and cut. Meryl is there like you're at the center court of the U.S. Open tennis thing. She's just hitting it back over the net and reacting to you. It's everything you've ever learned. Bring it when you're working with Meryl.
Can you share an actual experience performing with her?
I did a movie with her called The Hours, and I was playing a guy, and hadn't seen each other in years and years, and she's chopping some things on a kitchen table, and I have a book, and in the hotel the night before, I'd kind of worked on the scene and was going, all right, at this point, I'll toss the book and do a little affectation to kind of suggest character. So I get into the scene and I do the thing and I toss the book a little, you know, thing that's a bit false, but I'd worked on it and I'd planned on it and this is how I'm going to do it. And I looked up at her and she was looking at me. And in her eyes were, I didn't believe that. You didn't believe that. Don't do that again. And then she kept going with the scene. It was all in a look. Two actors know. I mean, as an actor, you know that please do things that are true and honest and reacting to each other versus things you've planned the night before, you know.
How about Robin Williams, working with Robin Williams?
Robin is out of his mind. First of all, he's generous and supportive and was a great time on the set. I really had a good time with Robin. But you get into between action and cut with this guy, and it's just his mind is going 100 miles an hour, faster than the human mind can go. He's 10 steps ahead of you, and he just follows that sometimes. And fortunately, in the movie RV, whenever I had enough of it, I just put him in a headlock. You know, my character was allowed to kind of put Robin in a headlock. And he's ticklish, which I found out. So put him in a headlock and start tickling him, and he shuts up.
Did you ever put Clint Eastwood in a headlock and tickle him?
No, you don't. First of all, you don't touch Clint Eastwood. You do not. I did a movie with Clint called Bloodwork, and it was a great, great experience. I mean, to talk about the best in the business. I'm guessing it's with so many of these, whatever business, the best in the business are more interested in you than they are in themselves. It's the mediocre that are the pains, the difficult ones. And Clint, Merrill, they're always kind of, you know, they're so secure in what they do, but they want you to be the best. And Clint was like that.
Jim Carrey.
Jim is like Robin. He follows that voice in his head that knows what's funny. Only Jim Carrey would think of doing it this way. Only Robin Williams would think of it doing this way, or Woody Allen that way. It's unique to them, and that's what makes each one of those guys so outstanding and separate from each other. And Jim is... They're just so imaginative and so inventive. It inspires you.
Jeff, how do you prepare for each role?
It varies. If there's like a movie called Gettysburg, you know you've got a lot of research to do on the character Chamberlain, on the Civil War, on that particular battle. So you go to the library. You just hit the books. It's doing the homework. Other movies are, it's closer to you, and that's what they want. They want something closer to what is you. And yet still, as an actor, I like to create someone else. And so I concoct a life of his that is different from mine, just so I'm not, you know, walking in front of the camera playing me. It's just, that's not as interesting for me.
Your versatility is amazing. I read this recently. White collar stuffed shirt, something wild. Unholy fool, dumb and dumber. Action hero, speed. Military man, Gettysburg. Self-important thespian, the goodbye girl. What's the key to being so versatile?
Thinking differently. It's more than just putting on, you know, a funny nose or different clothing or calling yourself by a different name. You have to think like that guy does. And once you are able to think like he does, you will act differently than you and probably everything else you've played. That's my dream, is to, when I'm done with this at whatever age, is to invite all the characters over for dinner. And I want each one to be different. I want the guy from Dumb and Dumber to sit down with Chamberlain and try to have a conversation.
Is there one of those that will sit at the head table? You know, is there one that you've loved more than all the others?
Loved more than all the others. I don't know that I... No, I can't say I love one more than the others. Certainly some were more difficult to play, trickier to figure out. Squid and the Whale was one. Gettysburg, a lot of work. Even Dumb and Dumber was tricky to, how do you play that stupid without being a caricature? So I don't know that anyone would be at the front of the... Well, you know, I did play George Washington, so maybe George sits up there.
Would you share with us a portion of Michigan, My Michigan?
Sure. Home of my heart, I sing of thee, Michigan, my Michigan. Thy lake-bound shores I long to see, Michigan, my Michigan. From Saginaw's tall whispering pines, from Lake Superior's farthest mines, fair in the light of memory shines, Michigan, my Michigan.
Michigan, My Michigan by Jeff Daniels. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Jeff Daniels, and his film career includes roles in The Purple Rose of Cairo, Terms of Endearment, Gettysburg, and Dumb and Dumber. Jeff, on a night you don't have it, how do you do it?
Well, you learn that it doesn't really matter whether you feel it or not. It's about the guy who, if it's a play, paid his X amount of dollars to be there, and not to mention dinner and parking. So you need to find a way that he or she feel it. So that means you execute. It becomes very technical, very craft-oriented. And you don't have it, but make sure he does. And it's amazing that on those nights that you just, I wasn't there, I just didn't feel it, the guy comes back and says, I was blown away. Blown away. I don't know how you do it. And you just... So it really is kind of irrelevant whether you actually feel it or not. So that it's not something to bail on, that's for sure.
Your life has had a number of phenomenal great moments, i.e. openings, etc. What is that like?
To be honest, the opening is kind of, for the actor, it's a lot of fuss. If it's a movie, you've already shot the movie almost a year ago. So there's a disconnect there as to what you're watching. Oh, that's something I did last year. If it's a play, it's all about the critics. It's really the audience is filled with your friends and family, and they're already going to love you whether you stumble on stage or not. And it's all about whether the New York Times has a good review at 11 o'clock at night. So it becomes this kind of business evening. I wish I could say it's a glorious, wonderful thing. The glorious, wonderful times are when you're shooting a movie with someone like a Meryl Streep or, you know, or with anyone, Laura Linney and Squid and the Whale, and you get in that scene where you both just knock it out of the park and you know it. That's why you get into acting is for days like that.
Would you share with us a little of William Shatner?
Yeah, this song was written so that as a disclaimer, because the last thing the world needs is another actor, singer, songwriter. So I figured if William Shatner can, I can too. If William Shatner can, I can too. Captain Kirk gotta sing the blues. Just another celebrity with nothing to lose. Singing for my supper with my hat in my hand. Oh, I'm Hollywood's answer to a Renaissance man. Russell Crowe is on the Leno show, singing some song that nobody knows. He's got an Oscar, now he's got a guitar. Just like that, he's a rock and roll star. Movie stardom's just a job. When you can sing like Billy Bob. Despite people across the country screaming, please don't do it. We've got another CD from Jennifer Love Hewitt. And now that Adam Sandler's got more money than God, I hope he takes his cigar and just goes away.
William Shatner by Jeff Daniels. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're with Jeff Daniels, who wrote, directed, and starred in Escanaba, In the Moonlight, and Super Sucker. Jeff, it's 1986. You and your wife, Kathleen, decide, let's move back to Chelsea, Michigan. Why?
It was home. It was home to Kathleen. It was home to me. We had a two-year-old boy at the time. We were going to have more kids. I just, every time I'd gone to Hollywood, I didn't like it. New York was where we were living, but it was a tough place to live and raise kids. We didn't know how to do that. There's a way, but we didn't know how to do it. And so we said, why don't we just move home and hope that the phone keeps ringing for the movies? And we moved home so that we could raise our kids in a place that we understood, where we knew how to do it, where there was a support system that we knew that was already in place with the two extended families. And the only one who would really be suffering or working harder was me. I was the one getting on the airplanes and flying and the red eyes and doing all that stuff so the kids could be raised in a place, one place that was constant and normal by our standards, and that we were not raising them inside of Hollywood, which was something we weren't going to do.
A lot of people had to tell you, Jeff, you're crazy. What you're trying to do, what you want to do is impossible. You're going to ruin your career.
Yeah, and it certainly affected the career. It had an impact on the career. But I think I beat it because I created this wide range of roles. And I created this versatility that allowed me to go from a Dumb and Dumber to a Gettysburg or a Terms of Endearment. I mean, that's a pretty wide range in there. And in between those are a lot of jobs and a lot of roles that you can play. Because if you can do this and you can do that, you can get in between them. So that was my answer to living in the Midwest. And happy to say, after I'm in my fourth decade now of making movies, it worked.
It's 1989, and you buy a used car and bus garage, which was owned by your grandfather, and you turned it into the Purple Rose Theater Company. Talk about that.
Moving back in 86, I'd been here for about 3 years, and I missed the creative life, that atmosphere that you find in a really good theater company or on a good movie set. And I just wanted that. I missed that. That was the one thing that I missed, that I thought, you know, if I could build a theater company, a regional theater company, in the shadow of what I believed was Circle Rep's greatness, the Circle Rep being in New York, I want to recreate that in the Midwest. And I really want to focus on new work, new plays, the Michigan actor, the Michigan director, designer, playwright, and see if we can't make that fly. And was able to collect a lot of like-minded, willing, exciting, talented Michigan theater artists who had chosen to stay here or didn't get the breaks I did or called this place home, but were able to work on a New York level. And over the 16 years, we've done that, I'm happy to say.
You and your team produce 4 shows per year. Each show runs 8 to 14 weeks. How can our listeners learn more about the Purple Rose Theater?
Well, the best way to do it is to just go. I mean, we're operational 44 weeks out of the year. There are tickets available, and that's the best way to experience the intimacy of seeing professional theater of our caliber from 4 feet away. And it's a different experience than the Fisher Theater or the touring shows that come through. All wonderful, but for instance, like Escanaba in Love, which is at the Gem Theater, is a direct result of, it started at the Purple Rose. And just by going and experiencing it, you will see a different style of theater, a film acting on stage. You will be in the room that the actors are in because you're so close to the audience. And that's the best way to do it. You can go to purplerosetheater.org and learn more about from the website, but you know, that would be the other option.
You've helped a lot of young aspiring actors and actresses. How long does it take Jeff Daniels to spot a great young talent?
Well, there are stages. One of them is in the workshops and or rehearsals, is he or she fearless? Will they try anything? Because actors have to lose their inhibitions. You have to be willing to go places that you don't believe in, that you don't like, that you would never do in a million years. But the character does, so therefore you have to. That's one thing. The other thing is, if he or she is a good auditioner, if they can read and they're honest and believable, and you believe them as this other person, two or three moments in an audition happen like that. You know, auditions are not about getting everything perfect. It's about those two or three moments where you can see that and you go, okay. The other biggie, though, is whether that actor can sustain that believability over an 8 or a 14-week run. Because a lot of them can't. A lot of them are good for about 2-3 weekends, and then it starts to deteriorate, and they start to become false, and they repeat themselves, and they aren't as good. That's the measure of a really good actor, young or old.
Do you think there's potential for me, Jeff Daniels?
Well, I've never seen you act, Jack. Certainly, I know that if there's a part where we just need someone to sit at the end of a bar, you would be one of the first people I call.
All right.
And I mean nothing by that except that I love your look.
You're walking down Chelsea Main Street. Do you ever think or reminisce about what you've done for your hometown?
I don't spend much time at all either reminiscing or patting myself on the back. I'm appreciative of how this gamble of mine has paid off. I know I don't understand all the ways it's helped. I don't realize all the people it's impacted. I'm aware of many, but there are many, many more that are the beneficiaries of this theater company bringing 40,000 people a year through its doors into a town that I'd say at least 35,000 of those people would never have come through. And there is an impact, both economically and creatively. You can see it in the kinds of businesses that have sprouted around Main Street and Chelsea. I'm real proud of the fact that we've succeeded, all the ways that we've succeeded and all the people we've affected. I just nod my head and go, I'm sure we did, and then keep moving and try to go on to the next thing.
Can you share with us a little of Dirty Harry Blues?
Well, this was a song written after I did a movie called with Clint Eastwood called Bloodwork, where he shot and killed me, which for an actor is a great honor. Thank you. Well, I've had more than my share brushes with greatness, but with all humility I would have to rate this. It's the biggest of the big, the best of them all. My dream came true with a little telephone call. On the end of my line, no jokings, the good, the bad, the ugly, the king of the unspoken, make my day, blow me away, goddamn. Dirty Harry Blues. He said, got this little project, got this little part about a serial killer with a cold heart. I said, Mr. Eastwood, I'd be so honored to play a bad guy. The only thing that'd make it better be if, you know, I got to die. He said, well, if I had to guess off the top of my head, when all's said and done, one of us is gonna be dead. He actually said that, Jack. Make my day, blow me away, goddamn Dirty Harry Blues.
Jeff Daniels, you are making our day. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Jeff Daniels, who founded the Purple Rose Theater Company in 1991, and he has an honorary doctorate from Central Michigan University.
That one meant a lot. It did, because I went there for 3 years, did not graduate, and very happily received that honorary doctorate. That one meant a lot.
Congratulations. Jeff, you're very comfortable in your own skin. Not many people are. How did you get that way?
Well, it's nice of you to say. I guess I am. I'll tell you what, I think it's because I'm doing what I want to do. I'm not displaced. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm living where I'm supposed to live. And I'm spending my life doing what I'm good at. And I think that goes a long way to helping you feel good about you inside and out.
Many of us have read the book, The Road Less Traveled. You've lived the road less traveled. You've really believed in yourself. How does a listener come to believe in themselves?
You have to find out what it is you're really good at, what comes naturally, and then decide that's true, that you are good at that. And then you have one person who believes in you, and that's you. You start with that one person. You can't go to the next person until that first one believes in you, and that's yourself. Once you have that, then you pick up people along the way, where in my business, whether it's a director or a college teacher or a, you know, New York and this, that, you know, a movie director, along the way you'll pick up more people who believe in you. But if you don't believe in yourself, they never will.
You've recorded several songs, two full-length albums entitled Grandfather's Hat and Jeff Daniels Live and Unplugged. How did the music start?
The music was always there. I think the guitar started when I moved to New York in 1976. I was 21, and I had played piano as a kid, but really didn't pursue it. I was bored with it. But I wanted to learn how to play the guitar, and I had a feeling that I was going to be living alone and alone a lot. And so I was going to learn how to play the guitar, and it became very quickly not only a friend, but the diary. I don't keep a diary. I don't have time for a diary. I don't want to go through years and years of, you know, squiggle and dribbles and doodling, and I don't care. But I would write songs at 22, 23, 26, 29, and put them in this notebook. And the guitar and the music got better and better. The songwriting got better. But the diary exists on a shelf. And I kept at it because of this kind of musical archive I was leaving behind myself. And then, you know, later on when the Purple Rose needed, you know, we needed to raise money, as we always do, then I was able to pull a guitar out and walk on stage and help raise some money for it. So the 30 years of playing the guitar has actually turned out to be not only fun for me, but helpful to the theater.
For the first time in 13 years, this past spring, you performed a play off-Broadway in New York. Talk about that and why.
Well, it was the kind of script that they sent it to me, and it was a great challenge. The subject matter was controversial, difficult to do, and I didn't know how to pull it off. And I'm a big believer that the theater, and in particular the New York theater, is a great place to reaffirm yourself. It's a great place to reevaluate your talent, whether it's still there or not. You can get away with a lot in front of a movie camera. We can just do it again. But in New York, in front of the New York Times, in front of Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep and Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward, all of these people who came to see this play, you gotta do it now, here. And so I enjoyed the challenge of that. And I was lucky in that the critics were beyond what we'd hoped, and that the audiences, we became the show to see in New York, and I couldn't have told you that was going to happen before I left.
What current projects or projects are you working on right now?
We've got Escanaba in Love at the Gem Theater, which we brought that show, airlifted that show from the Purple Rose production of last fall. And we basically just brought the entire show and dropped it in downtown Detroit at the Gem Theater. That's something we've been working hard on to get it up and hopefully have a long, successful run down here in Detroit. Locally, that's what I'm doing. I'm writing a play that we'll do at the Purple Rose next summer, one I've wanted to do for a long time, just a slam-bang comedy, much like Escanaba in Love, which is a comedy. And on the movie front, I just finished a movie with Don Cheadle in Toronto, and got an offer today to be a part of a movie with Brad Pitt. So apparently I'm not retired yet.
Kathleen doesn't want you to retire. So, you're Michigan spokesperson. Tough times in these states. Transformation. Are you hopeful about Michigan's future?
I'm hopeful. I believe everything is cyclical. And I think we'll come back. I think we'll come back differently than we were 5 years ago. I think we have to. I think that's what makes this downturn so unique. I don't have the answer. I don't think anybody really does right now. But I am hopeful. I don't see any other way to go through life other than trying to move forward, be proactive, and trying to make things better than they are now.
What is success to Jeff Daniels?
Success is doing something that was in your head, whether it was a character or a script you wrote or a song you sang, and seeing that stranger whom you don't know, never met, say, that song reminded me of my grandfather. And I hadn't thought about him in a long time. Or that play you wrote made me call my dad. Or that character reminded me of, it made me and my wife sit down and really work out some stuff, Squid and the Whale. You know, that's the thing that you can't, whether you're coming off a movie screen or through the guitar or through a play you wrote, you can't see that unless they come up and tell you that. And that's the biggest success beyond any awards or something a critic might say.
Final question. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Be realistic. Everybody has a dream. Find out what you're good at. Find out what comes naturally and chase it. There is no one thing for you to do. You are unique, and really make sure that you chase that, because you don't want to get into your 50s and 60s and say, you know what, I wish I'd been this or I wish I'd been that. Take a run at it. Chase the dream, which is all lofty and kind of a vague thing to say, but that's where it starts. But first, before the dream, you've got to find out, am I good at this? And then if you're lucky to spend your whole life doing something you love doing and are good at, then you'll have had a great run.
Jeff Daniels, you are a true Michigan treasure. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you, Jack.
Our guest next Sunday will be the CEO and president of the Trinity Health System, Joe Swedish. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.